Morning, church. Thank you. How y'all doing this morning?
Excellent.
I have come to church this morning ready to worship the Lord. Have you come ready to worship the Lord? He is worthy of all of our praise. I've had an experience with the Lord this week where I purposely sought weakness. And it was this amazing experience to bring yourself physically into weakness and have him meet you. And he spoke to me and he's just like, you know, all of that striving for strength. When we come and we purposely seek weakness in his presence, we become strong in him. In him. So this morning, there's two things as we enter into the service. There's that, just standing before him without the striving. Standing before him. You this morning into his presence.
Amen. Well, stand with me, church. It's on. Okay. We're going to do a call to worship this morning out of Psalm 100. It says this: make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lambs. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures through all generations. Father, we just come before you today. We just want to worship you, Lord, for your goodness and your faithfulness. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the resurrection. We thank you, Lord, that you are as risen today as you were last week. When we celebrated on Easter, we celebrated again this morning. You are risen. And we worship you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are worthy of our praise. Let's worship, church.
Hallelujah. You ever wonder why the Lord is the miracle worker and why he always keeps working on our behalf? It's because he loves you. He loves you. He does miracles because he loves you. He loves me too. Right? He loves us. This is a sacred time that we get to have with communion. We do it every week, and it can feel like a tradition, but traditions are good. Not all traditions are good, but some traditions are, and this is one that the Lord has instituted for us to take and partake in as we get together as a family and as we get together to be with him. And so I want to exhort us today from Hebrews 12. And it says in Hebrews 12, verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. If you're feeling weary or faint-hearted or struggling with something, this is the moment we can get together and partake of the body and the blood of Jesus that was broken for you because he loves you. And I also want to encourage you with this from Hebrews 11. It says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. I want to encourage you with this. Perhaps one of you needs to hear this. If you believe on the Lord Jesus, and you have set your heart on him, and you put your faith in him, he is pleased with you. He may not be pleased with all the things that we do. I'm not pleased with all the things that I do. But he is pleased with you because you believe, because you are his. So he loves you this morning. And he is pleased with you as you seek him in this way and you put your trust in him. So as we, before we partake together, take a moment, surrender your heart to him again, confess any sins that you need to confess before him, and think about his love for you, and that he is pleased with you because you believe in him and rest in his love. Take a minute, and then we'll come back and eat and drink together. Father, we surrender our hearts to you. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus. We thank you for sending your one and only begotten Son to reveal yourself to us and to make a way for us to know you personally forever and be forgiven and to know your love. So we surrender our hearts to you and we confess our faith in you, Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 11, you can take your bread here. In 1 Corinthians 11, it says this from the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us eat together. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let us drink together. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to continue with another song. Feel free to come up to the front and worship if you'd like. Let's continue to surrender our hearts to the Lord.
As we were worshiping earlier, it's like I could see the procession of King Jesus, and I could see all of us weeping and casting our crowns. And for me, this isn't like a theology course, but for me, crowns represent things that are to our credit, truly. If you're fighting for your marriage and you've stayed in it and you're committed and you're prayerful and you are looking to Jesus for your marriage, that is a credit. You're doing it. And yet, when we come in the presence of Jesus, we know it was all him. All of that steadfastness, all of that perseverance, all of that faith, it all is him. It all comes back to him. So we cast our crowns. And as I saw this procession coming down, we were throwing things, idols, things that we rely on. And so it's interesting that the Lord spoke to you in that way, because they refused to bow down to the idol. They refused idolatry. And so they were cast into the fire. And I can promise you this. If you begin to seek the Lord, and if you make a commitment to him, if you stand and you say, I will put nothing before you, God, you will find yourself in the midst of fire. You will find yourself there. But he will be with you. after church today, this week, I would like you guys to go spend some time in Romans chapter 1 and chapter 2. In the beginning, starting in verse 18 of Romans chapter 1, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." He makes himself known everywhere. Everywhere. Those who choose not to believe in God are closing their eyes to creation. "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men." In the New Living Translation, it says something like, they began to have foolish thoughts about who God was. They began to create their own version of who God is. Isn't that what is happening? Isn't that what we do? It's what we do. Whether you think you do or not, we do that. And as we come into his presence, as we spend time in his word, as we spend time with him outside of Sunday morning and inside of Sunday morning, he continually renews our mind and our thoughts to know him. What does this have to do? I sat with this passage of scripture and I was just like, after this, starting in verse 24, he goes into all manner of bad behavior. All manner of behavior that leads not to life, but to death. Bad behavior that is the result of idolatry. Because I always want to know the root. This guy will tell you, I'm always after, I want the target. I want the bullseye. I want the root. I want to get at the root. Idolatry, he said. It goes into this list of bad behavior, and I think as Christians, as his church, we read this list of bad behavior, and you know what we do? We're just like, whew, okay, I think I'm good there. And then you go to chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are to judge. In whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things." In the New Living Translation, it says, you're judging others, but you do the same things. And I was like, but I don't think I do. And I go back in, and it's not the bad behavior, it's the idolatry. And I will tell you, my bad behavior because of idolatry, my life looks a little different than the list. But it's still, the idols have got to go. This full commitment to not bow down to idols. The idols of earthly love. The idols of your children. If you've made your children an idol, it gets messy. It gets messy. The idols of success. Well, I just want to be responsible. It's just that we worship God first. He alone do we worship. And when he says turn left, we turn left, even if it feels like we're putting our child in jeopardy. I've had to do it. He said, let her go. I was like, what, are you crazy? He said, let her go. And I know the voice of the Lord when I hear it. And I knew obedience had to be full and terrifying in order for it to be fully powerful enough to save her. And it was by his grace alone. And it did to his glory. So I am not talking as one who hasn't walked it. Idolatry, church. Don't be fooled by the list of bad behavior and feeling good that maybe it doesn't show up in our lives like that. Because he loves us, he will be with us in the fire. But he did not save them from going into the fire. It's good. I almost called you babe. It's good, babe, what you shared. It's good, church. If we want the powerful, miraculous presence of Jesus beside us, we have got to be in the fire, free of idols. He is good, church. God is good, and he is worthy of our praise, and he is safe and faithful and true to his people, and he loves you this morning. Okay. Do you have anything else?
No, let's just close this time in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just worship you. We thank you. We praise you. We glorify you today, Lord. Father, we lay down our idols, those things that we've put before you, that we've relied on, we've counted on, our works, all of it. We lay it down before you, Lord. Jesus, we thank you. We glorify you this morning. Praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to go into our time where we have some, just a little bit of a break in fellowship. If you're a guest here, we welcome you. It's wonderful to worship the Lord with you today. On the back of the seats is a connection card. It's a place where you can put your email, and then we will send an email out to you, just connecting you with our website and information about our church. It's also a place where you can put praise reports or prayer requests. And we have a lovely team of people who pray faithfully for us as a family of believers. Those connection cards, during the break, there'll be two buckets up here. Those buckets are for the connection cards, are also for your offering and for your tithes. Bring your tithes cheerfully for the Lord, to the Lord, in Romans 1, knowing who he is. Just know who he is. It makes it so easy to give a bit back to the one who gives everything in the first place. So be cheerful. You are well provided for. We are well provided for. So that's up here. The nursery is open, 0 to 3. Littles, ages 4, 5, and 6. I hear there's paint today. That's all I know. It's because Lila's teaching it. They're trying out a little bit of a new thing, so kids are going to have paint. Parents of preschoolers, just know that as far as I'm concerned, there's a 100% ban on glitter. There, I mean, you should never get a piece of paper with glitter, ever, because I hate it. It gets everywhere. Here, mommy, and then you receive it as the treasure that it is, wet, glopping, and glittered. And you try to put it in your purse. You have glitter in your purse. You have glitter on your person. You have glitter in your bed at night. It gets everywhere. So there's paint today, but there better not be glitter, Jenny. There better not be glitter. Okay, Jenny's like taking notes. Oh my gosh, did she tell me that? Lastly, if you're an ECF kid, you know the bags are over there. Kids, you know, ages 7 and up, we have bags. If you're a guest, you have a kid, we have bags. They stay in sermon with us. They hear the word of God, and they keep their hands busy. Am I missing anything? No. Okay, let's greet one another, and then we'll come back. All right, friends. Let's find our seats. Going to have a few announcements. First announcement is Young Adult Group. Tuesday the 9th at 6 p.m. in the Rose Center, there is Sydney, our worship leader and faithful leader of the Young Adult Group. If you are a young adult between the ages of 18 and 28, you are invited to this Bible study. And sometimes Georgia comes. Is Georgia always there? Georgia and Sid are connected at the hip. Georgia is her yellow lab, and she is lovely, energetic, but very, very sweet. So she'll be there. So if you are fall in that age group, come or reach out to Sid at sydney@ecfchurch.org to get info. Sid is great, in case you were worried. Women to Women is this Wednesday at Maureen's house. That's Maureen and Joanna there. They are the leaders of the group. If you want to attend and you've never attended before, go ahead and shoot an email to ecf@ecfchurch.org, or if you can catch them up front here after church, they come up and they are prayer partners after church. You can just come up and chat with them about the group. What's it about? Who comes? Is it for me? And they'll say, yes, it's for you, because it's for all the ladies. It's a lovely time. So I encourage you. That is Wednesday evening, the 10th, at what time? 6:30. Okay, that wasn't on my paper or the slide. So at 6:30. Last announcement is we're taking a little break from the Bible reading bookmarks. So the last time I was up here, I think I was like, who uses the bookmarks? And they were like, I know, Pastor Jason, yep, and Lori, okay, and Lena, and Robert, okay. So the hand, and you don't have to read along with the church, but what we're doing is we're looking at partnering with YouVersion. They have a platform where you can connect in as a church, and you can do Bible reading plans together. You can comment, get encouragement, and so we're looking at doing that. We're experimenting with it. Like, what happens if someone joins in later? Do they pop right in where everyone else is at? Like, we're figuring out all those details. And our goal, I think, is by May to really begin to talk about and press into Bible engagement and just challenging ourselves with how we read the Bible and different ways that we can engage with the Bible to just bring life to our study and to our reading. So that's where the bookmark's at. If you're looking for them, they won't be there. So, yeah, but it's coming. Something good is coming.
All right. I'm starting a therapy group for those who miss the bookmarks and need some help and assistance. After church service, we'll meet there in the back in the corner, and we'll pray for each other, figure out what to do while we wait for May. Okay, yeah. Okay, it's good. Amen. We can always pick up the Bible and we begin to read. Actually, we do have reading this week. You already gave it to us. Okay. You told us to read Romans 1 and 2 at least. Keep going through Romans too, right? So we have our reading assignment for this week, so never fear. God is good. He is. He always comes through. Amen. Well, we're going to talk about tithes and offerings real quick. I do have a slide this morning. I have a slide on, and I always forget. So the AV team, every week they faithfully put up, they don't actually put it up, they wait for me to say something about different ways to give. There are three ways to give. You can give by check, you can give by the mobile app, which I know actually my kids do, right? You girls do that with the mobile app. Then the text to give, and there's a lot of different ways that you can give. So today I remembered because they helped me to remember. So thank you, ladies, for helping me to remember. But there is three ways to give. You can see those on the screen behind me. And I would encourage you, if you do the text to give or even the online app to give, there's two ways you can give. You can give through a credit card or you can give through ACH. The credit card one sort of gets set up right away and it's just like you're done and then automatically remembers it. But the ACH one actually works better for the church. So if you are willing to put in the extra, you know, 5 or 6 minutes to fill in the ACH piece of it, and then you get it like a penny deposit, you got to verify it. It's a little bit more work, but it saves the church of paying the credit card fees, you know, the 3 to 4%, whatever it is, on a regular basis, especially if you decide that you want to do that more often. And it's quick, easy. It's an easy way to do it. You just get on your phone during this time. So anyway, ways to give. There it is. I remembered. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. Okay. All right. Now, my scripture is out of 1 Chronicles 29 this morning. And sort of, we've been sort of alluding to this even all throughout the service this morning. It says this, but both riches and honor come from you. That's a capital Y. That's not you. That's not you. That's Yahweh. That's Him. Amen? Both riches and honor come from Him, from God. And you reign over all. Church, He reigns over it all. In your hand is power and might, and in your hand is to make great and to give strength to all. Man, I could stand on that verse day in and day out. If I could remember one thing, you know, it would be to remember, look, everything comes from Him. And when we give back to Him, we're just giving back a portion of it that He has given to us. He's given us everything. He is the power. He is the might. It is in His strength that we live. Amen. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank You, Lord, for this morning. I thank You that You've already been moving and working in our hearts, Lord. Father, I thank You for every giver this morning. Lord, we give You praise and honor. We thank You, Lord, that You are paying all bills, both here at the church, Lord, but in our homes and in our lives. Father God, I thank You, Lord, that You are blessing businesses this morning. I have this sense, Lord, that You are just really pouring out a fresh anointing this morning on those who operate in business that are in this church today, Lord, whatever that means. That's just from the Lord. So, Lord, I just pray that we receive that, Lord, we just trust you with all that we have, Father God. We give back to you a portion of it. We want to honor you, for strength and might are truly in your hand. Lord, as we get into your word this morning, as we continue towards the end here of the Sermon on the Mount, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would just anoint this time of hearing your word, Lord, that it would be clear, Father God, that our eyes would be open, our ears would be open to hear what you have for us. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, guys, we are almost through the Sermon on the Mount. We've got sort of two passages of Scripture we're going to cover this morning, and then we have, you know, the Build Your House on the Rock passage, which is sort of the end of the Sermon on the Mount. How many of you really enjoyed kind of going through this series? Yeah, it's really great because you can't skip anything. You know, you're just like, well, I don't want to talk about that. Ooh, like that topic. I know Jesus said it on that, you know, famous Sermon on the Mount, but do I really have to do that, right? So there's nothing you can't skip it when you walk through the whole thing, which I've really enjoyed. And then next week we're working on like a little handout sort of summarizes the Sermon on the Mount, all the different things we talked about. Sid's working on that for us. But here's what I love, is that God has orchestrated the week by week to always line up with like things that are going on either in this world or in this church. And we had talked about, Pastor Liz talked about the narrow gate a few weeks ago, but then it was like we weren't quite done with the narrow gate, and it was a perfect Easter message about really the narrow gate is the way, and the narrow gate is Jesus, and it only stands about 2 feet wide, and he is our way to freedom, to life, to abundant, to everlasting joy and peace and eternity with him. And so this morning we're going to kind of pick up right after that, and this week's title is called Two Trees, Two Fruits, Two Destinies. And we get into, and of course it was two gates, really, from last time. I didn't call it that on Easter Sunday, but Jesus is really, he's profiling here two opposite things, two different sides of the spectrum, two different types of gates last week, but two different types of trees, two different fruits that come from those trees, and then two different destinies. And I'm going to walk through this first passage of Scripture here. So Matthew 7, starting in verse 15. It says this, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." Just stop there just for a second. And I'm going to talk a little bit about this. We'll dig into it. We could probably spend a lot of time on this. And there's a lot of talk in Christian circles and in social media about this person's false and this person's not preaching this and preaching that. And I want to encourage you, church, that it is every one of our responsibilities to take what we hear and to bump it up against the Word of God. That's like part of the Christian walk. That's part of our job. And when we hear something, and I know people here, I've said things, you know, from here, and I'll get a phone call and be like, "Hey, could you explain that a little more? What did you mean by that?" I actually embrace, I want that. Like, stop. Like, Pastor Jason, like, I understand that further. Because just everything I say, I'm human, and God has anointed me to preach by the grace of God to do that. But just because I'm also human, we each of us have to go and say, "Wait a second, let me bump that up against the Word of God." Because this is the ultimate truth. This is the ultimate, this is perfection here. Humans, we are not perfect. And interestingly enough, these false prophets, they're coming in sheep's clothing. Ooh, it's like they're sneaky, right? They're sneaky. They're saying things that are like right, but maybe they're not fully right. And you really have to, it's interesting there, but what Jesus is speaking of here says, inwardly. Let's just stop right there. Inwardly. This whole Sermon on the Mount has been a challenge to what? Our heart. Every passage of Scripture in here that Jesus is talking about, it always is challenging our heart, whether it be about judging, about marriage, about treating others, or sort of whatever it was always, it's not about the works necessarily, it's always about the heart. And it's interesting that this verse that Jesus says is, at the end of the day, they may be saying things, but what we have to discern is inwardly, where is their heart at? And God is the one who is able to do that. Verse 16, it says, "And you will know them by their fruits." We'll get into that here in a minute. "Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Makes sense. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor a bad tree can bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. Ooh, we talked about fire this morning. If that tree's cut down and Jesus isn't with you, the tree gets burned up. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. So here we see two different trees producing two different types of fruit. And the beginning of this passage talks about watching out for these false prophets. And I will tell you that as elders of the church, we are also partially responsible for that as well. As an elder of the church, our job is threefold. It's to protect, direct, and correct. No one loves the correction part. Sorry. Right? No one loves when someone comes and corrects them, but that's just part of the responsibility they have. Direct, everyone loves direction and vision. But part of our responsibility also is to protect. And so when someone's leading a small group and we say, what are the different things you're sharing there? We're doing that because it is our goal, as part of what we have to do, is protect what is being taught, what is being communicated, what is being put out there. And like I said before, it's your job as a church member, as someone who is part of this church family, your job is to be prayerful about what you read, be directed by the Holy Spirit, and just because they're on Christian TV doesn't mean everything that they say aligns up with the Word of God. Just because they're on Daystar or what, I don't know what, all the different channels, right? But just because they're on there doesn't mean that everything they're saying lines up with the Word of God. So we have to discern. We have to put in the, and I wrote this down, so we cannot 100% put our trust in anyone except for Jesus. You can't. It's impossible. You can't be a follower of anyone but Jesus. And if you say, you know, there's great teachers out there, there are great, you know, people who follow the Word of God, and I'm just going to say some names, and I'm not saying any of these are false prophets. In fact, I listen to a lot of them. But I'm just going to say you cannot 100% put your trust in Joyce Meyer. You cannot 100% put your trust in Kenneth Copeland. You cannot 100% put your trust in Stephen Furtick. And you cannot 100% put your trust in Jason Ackerman. How I made that list, I have no idea. Because I wrote it down. Gosh, Lord, help me. But honestly, we have to say, like, Lord, we have to be responsible to discern the truth. We have to test it versus the Bible. So what types of things are these false prophets maybe saying? At the end of the day, there's a few things that would come out that we would say, look, this is something that I cannot listen to. And the number one is that if anyone says that Jesus is not the only way to heaven. You know, there are theological, you know, differences and challenges on speaking in tongues or the return of Jesus and all these different things that we have to pray and receive from the Lord and rightfully discern and ask questions and do all that. But at the end of the day, if there is anything that says Jesus is not the way to the Father in heaven, we have to call a big time out on that. A big time out. Because Jesus is the way, and the Bible is very clear. If anyone says that works are needed, like, well, you just need to try a little harder, and you just need to, like, you know, do this or do that, from a works perspective, that is not what the Bible teaches us. And I believe, and the Bible is clear, that says anyone who comes and says that the Holy Spirit is not real and the gifts aren't real, again, based on what I read in this Word, says that that is somebody who is not speaking what the Word of God is really saying. And then Jesus' passage then talks about the fruit. So every good tree produces good fruit, and every bad tree produces bad fruit. And this really is, it's just we have to reflect and say, what is the effect of those teachings? What is happening with those teachings? And I can tell you, the works teaching keeps you trying to do good works and trying to do good works, and you never actually get there. Because it's not the actual way. And there is only one way, and it's Jesus. Jesus said this, he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do... Ooh, we're a Bible reading group. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So guess what, guys? My tree is linked to Jesus.
I'm on his brand. I'm linked into his roots and his vines, because he is the vine and we're the branches. Apart from him, I can do nothing. I have to say, Lord, I want to be obedient to your word. What do you have to say to me? And then Jesus goes on and talks about this bad tree that bears bad fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And again, all of these passages that Jesus is speaking about, he's always coming back to the heart. Where is your heart yet? So what does good fruit look like? It's a good question, right? What does it look like? Does it look like an apple? Does it look like an orange? What is this good fruit? How do we know? When our heart is turned towards God, does it mean that we get everything perfect? No. Does it mean when we're a new believer that we just are jumping around with all of the joy, peace, patience, and kindness, and goodness, and faith, all the things of the fruit immediately? No, fruit takes time to grow, guys. Fruit takes time to grow, but we have to link our tree with the tree of Jesus, the tree of life, the one who truly is the one and only, and he begins to work on the fruit of our life. So in our home, we have, it's not like a formal thing, but Pastor Liz and I talk about it a lot. We call it sort of the indicators of where our heart is. Our indicator of where our heart is the fruit of the Spirit. And when you read through those and you look at those, it is a very clear indicator of where our heart is. And I can tell you, there's been days, weeks, months, and probably the past year, where I read that list sometimes, I'm just like, ooh. Ooh. So my heart is for the Lord, but the fruit is not there yet. He is working on that. And this morning, I think what I want you to take away from this is, are you open and willing for the Lord to show you the things that are blocking you from growing fruit in your life? Are you open and willing to hear from the Lord to say, I have made such and such a thing an idol? Or I have done something in my life, or I'm walking in something where I am not producing fruit in my life as evidenced by the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm not walking in that way. And Lord, I want to walk more in that way. The fruit of the Spirit are these. I don't have them up there, but it's love, joy, peace, patience. I'm going to go through this list. You're all going to be like, I need a little more of that. I need a little more of that. I need a little more of that. Well, the only way to get a little more of that is to be linked in with Jesus and to allow him to show you what are the reasons why the fruit is not being produced in your life in these areas. A little more kindness, a little more goodness, a little more faithfulness, gentleness, and Lord help us, self-control. And we cannot fully walk in them unless we allow God to do a work in us. Because what you don't see, and what people don't see, you see a tree, and you see it's either producing fruit or it's not producing fruit, but you don't see what's going on the inside of that tree. And I've seen many a times where there are trees that seem like they're blooming, and they look off, like, what's going on? This poor tree, but they're producing and they're blooming. And I've seen beautiful trees that look great that are actually dead, and the branches are dead on the if you actually really look at it. So I want to be someone who has linked with Jesus and allowing him in my heart to be able to correct and direct me, because I want to produce fruit. Amen? Then Jesus goes on to say, and this is the two destinies part, it says this. And this, the title of this part of this passage is, I Never Knew You. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever read this passage before, going to kind of give you like the little chilly willies. I don't know what that is, but it feels right. Right? You're just like, whoa. Like you get this little thing like, wait a second. Is that me? Ooh. Let me read this to you because I think it's really important. I'm going to end with this passage here in this piece. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Wait, what? But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So first we stop and say, time out. Somebody better tell me what the will of the Father in heaven is. right? Y'all like, time out. Okay, we'll get there. I won't leave you hanging without that. But here in verse 22 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name. Done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Wow. That is such a heavy passage of Scripture. And as I was reading it and studying it, the takeaway was, we did this, the Authority of the Believer series about a year and a half ago, and everyone really loved it, and we were using the name. Guys, there is power in the name of Jesus. And even in Acts, you can read where Paul is going around, and there are people using the name of Jesus and seeing miracles and things done, but the end of the day, the true issue is their hearts. The true issue is their heart. They're using the name of Jesus. They're saying all the right things. They're even seeing things happen by declaring the name of Jesus. Look, at the name of Jesus, every demon's got to flee. So these things begin to occur, but at the end of the day, if your heart is not there, then he will say, I never knew you. And so you get back and say, you look at this verse in here in John 6, verse 28. It says this, and then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered them and said, this is the work of God. This is the will of God, that you will believe in him. You will believe in him who he sent. The end of the day, the will of God is that no one shall perish. At the end of the day, the will of God is that our hearts are turned towards him. That we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It is the only way. And this is what Jesus is speaking about here. So what is the way? This question is he says, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven. What does that look like? It means this, is to believe in Christ and to know him. And you think that sometimes I think we get, it seems to be more complicated than that. And we get concerned that is there more to it than that? You see, when this is the initial piece, when we believe in Christ and our goal is to know him and to know him more, then our lives begin to change. And then our fruit begins to change. And then the fruit of the Spirit begins to flow. And all of these things outflow, not by what we're trying to go do and the works that we're trying to go do, but it comes down to where our heart is turned when it's turned to Jesus. A person who professes faith but does not actually follow Christ and believe in him will be turned away. This is what the Bible says. And church, I can assure you, your words will not save you on that day. Your deeds will not save you on that day. Ephesians 2:8 says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace, you want to come up here? The Bible says, again, I don't have this verse up here, but it says this in John 10, verse 14. It says, I am the good shepherd, this is Jesus speaking, and I know my sheep, and I am known by them. Would you bow our heads this morning? This is as we go through this passage of Scripture on the Sermon on the Mount, there's some difficult things that we have to wrestle with. There's some difficult things that we have to work through, and it comes down to our heart. Just bow your heads, close your eyes this morning. We just want to ask you a couple questions. You believe that Jesus is the only way. Maybe you've wrestled with this in the past. Maybe you've never accepted and seen and believed. And you're feeling that sense this morning. Well, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week, but today is the day of salvation. Do you believe that Jesus is the only way? Next question, just to reflect on this morning, is your heart turned to Him today? Is your heart aligned with Him today? Maybe He's revealing something to you even now, that there's something in your life that is causing a misalignment between you and God. I believe even now He's revealing that to you. He's asking you this morning to put that aside, to turn away from that. The last question this morning for us is, are the fruit of the Spirit growing in your life? Upon reflection in my own life, my answer was no. So I'm asking the Lord this morning, and I'm encouraging you as well, what is getting in the way of that? Is it pride? Is it fear? Lord, reveal to us this morning those things that are blocking us from going deeper with You. Lord, reveal to us this morning that which is blocking the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, all the things that are available to us, Lord. Lord, we want to grow in each of those areas. We want that to be the fruit of our life. Lord, reveal to us this morning those things that are blocking us in our lives. Reveal it to me as well, Lord. Please, please, Lord. Lord, I just want to know You more. Father, I just thank You for this morning. Thank You, Lord, that You are risen. I thank You, Lord, that we can turn our hearts to You. I thank You, Lord, that You truly are revealing to many of us in this room, Lord, the things in which we have placed as idols in our lives, things that we have placed before You, things that we hold on to tightly, that You're asking us to let go of today. Lord, we want to live out Your will for our life, Lord. Give You all the honor, the praise, and the glory. Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Guys, we've got some prayer teams that are going to be up here at the end of service. If you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, the Bible again says today is the day of salvation. So come up, pray with, just come up and say, I believe, God is working in my heart and I just want someone to pray with. Come up here, they'll pray with you. Maybe you need prayer for healing. Maybe you need prayer for relationship. Whatever it might be, there's prayer teams up here that can pray for you. And I just want to send you guys out with this benediction. And also don't stare at the sun tomorrow. Wear your glasses, get your things. Okay.
says this: the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen and amen. All right, guys, you are dismissed. If you need any prayer, come on up. Otherwise, be safe tomorrow. We love you guys.